Hour number four of our radio program. That's right. It is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. From loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Let's welcome in a man that played his college ball at Louisville. He is the 2008 third-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons, 84th overall. Played his NFL career with the Falcons and the Tennessee Titans. And that is a great job for ESPN. That is Harry Douglas. Harry, been a while. How you been?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, bud?
Well, I'm doing great. I got to start you off with Clemson. The offensive line was horrible. Receivers dropping footballs left and right. DJ Uiagalelei did not play well. How do you look at the future of Clemson football for this season?
I'm trying to take some things into consideration because I was actually at that game last night right here in Atlanta. The offensive line, like you mentioned, did not play well. The Georgia Tech defense, or they made the Georgia Tech defense look like all-stars, but I also got to give credit to the Georgia Tech defense as well because they stepped up and made plays and made that Clemson offense look silly. And about 9:53 in the second quarter is when Clemson finally got their first touchdown, but I think if it wasn't for a block punt, I think they would have struggled throughout that game, the rest of that game. I'm just being honest. When it comes to the receivers, those guys have to be better. DJ Uiagalelei, he has to be better as well. The defense for Clemson actually held that team down. Moving forward, and I'm trying to take this in consideration, they have a new offensive coordinator. They have a new defensive coordinator. But the defense didn't miss a beat. The offense missed everything, just like they was missing last year early in the season. Now, they found their groove last year late in the season. I'll say middle of the year toward the end, still won 10 games. But if they were playing an opponent, I'll say top 15 worthy last night, that would have been they would have lost the first game of the season, just being honest. So moving forward, I'm hoping that they can get it together, but it has to be more consistency at the quarterback position. And we actually seen it a little bit in the third quarter, mid-third quarter on in within that game, 3rd and 2 situation. DJU made an outstanding play, not getting sacked, flipped the ball back to Will Shipley, was able to go down and get a first down, and they actually scored a touchdown on that drive that made it 24-10. But right now, if I'm any other team in the ACC, I'm looking at Clemson last night and saying, you know what, guys, just like last year, we have a chance to win the ACC.
Do you think it's inevitable that Cade Klubnik will eventually take over for DJ Uiagalelei this year?
Listen, he looked good when he came in last night, and I understand it was garbage time. But if DJ can't be consistent and start fast in football games, if you're Dabo Sweeney and you're this Clemson offense, you have to take a look at him.
Talking to Harry Douglas right now. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's so bizarre when you get impressed by the national champions on the first game of the season when they're defending their crown. I'm not telling you Oregon is a great team this year. Clearly, they weren't the 11th best team in the country with their AP ranking was. But, man, was I impressed with what Georgia was able to do.
Me and you both. And I think it was Stetson Bennett mainly for me. That defense looked like that defense from last year, not with the talent, but still being able to make plays and thrive. They make Bo Nix look silly. I'm wondering at what point is Bo Nix going to be able to grow up and be the quarterback that everyone expected him to be. And I
Never.
Think the worst thing that happened to Bo Nix's career is him having that win when he was at Auburn against Oregon in the first game of the year. So everyone had these high expectations. And I grew up watching his father throwing that touchdown to Frank Sanders in the end zone to beat Florida or whatnot. But when I look at Georgia and I look at Stetson Bennett, the young man, his confidence is on another level more so than it was last year. And this confidence that he has this year, I've seen literally in one game last year, and it was a national championship. You know, he got a new fresh cut. He's walking around with a different pizzazz to himself. And I just love to see it. And I even tweeted, kind of joking a little bit, but kind of being serious too, I said Stetson Bennett for Heisman, and I put my little arms up emoji. And if this young man continues to play like this, and they have the running backs in Milton and McIntosh, and then you have your three tight end deep with Gilbert, Brock Bowers, and Darnell Washington, then the receivers, Ladd McConkey, Mitchell, those guys stepping up, making plays in another year within the system, playing standout football, I think, man, this offense is going to, at some point, have to pick up some of the slack defensively because they did lose a lot of guys to the National Football League. You got to take that into context as well.
You know, it's a fascinating point that you bring up because usually when a team wins a national championship, we just wonder, if they're going to be complacent the next season. Stetson Bennett got disrespected, even headed into this season. And I think that motivates that team a little bit because they're saying, we just won a national championship with the guy, and he still doesn't get his credit.
Well, you know, it was Labor Day weekend, right? Monday was Labor Day. You know, usually on holidays, Sundays and Saturdays, the mail deliver. But they say the mailman don't deliver on holidays, right? I'll tell you one thing. Stetson Bennett and the mailman delivered this weekend. So in my eyes, he delivered the mail on Monday, which was yesterday, Labor Day.
Harry Douglas here with us. When we get to LSU, what a demoralizing way to lose a football game. What do you got to see from Brian Kelly here in your number one with the Tigers, with his family, as he would say?
I say body language. I think body language is everything. Your energy is everything, right? I don't like when players have bad body language, and I damn sure don't like it when coaches have it. And every time they put the camera on Brian Kelly, it's like his body language wasn't exciting. It wasn't energized. And sometimes that could rub off on your football team. And then in the post-game interview, I understand players got to go out there and make plays, but I need more accountability on the coaching side as well. Now, he's saying they got to coach better, but I need more of that tone to be a little stronger towards the coaching staff. Special teams was horrible, and I think the only guy that actually came with him from Notre Dame was the special teams coach. So special teams lost them that football game, but then you see a guy like Keyshawn Boutte. That's your best player offensively. You need to find ways to get him the football. I don't care how you do it, from the moment you start the game to the moment the game is over. You need to figure out how to get your best player to football by any means necessary.
No one questions if Brian Kelly's a good coach, but you just wonder if he's the right fit at LSU. It seems as if he's trying too hard.
Well, I'm from down south, and I've been up north to places. Down south is a total different ballgame than up north. I'll be the first to tell you. It's southern hospitality. The people eat, sleep and poop football, and they want you to win. We don't care about all the antics down here. It's about winning. And yesterday, LSU lost a football game that they should have won. And now, right now, fans are on another level.
Talking to Harry Douglas right now, I loved what I saw from Anthony Richardson. What do you think the ceiling is for Florida this year?
So a lot of people are just now getting on the Anthony Richardson train. I was on the train early last year when I said Dan Mullen should not have been playing Emory Jones and he should have been playing Anthony Richardson. The young man, 6'4", 230, between 230 and 235, reminds me of a guy named Cam Newton. I think he is more athletic than Cam Newton. I think mechanically he's a little bit better than Cam Newton as well. But when you have a guy who's running that spread option, Billy Napier, I think it's a perfect marriage between him and Anthony Richardson. This Florida team can surprise a lot of people. They have a game coming up this weekend against Kentucky, and we all remember what happened last year up in Lexington when the Kentucky Wildcats went crazy. Florida didn't remember that game. You know who else didn't remember? Did remember that game? I meant is Anthony Richardson, the quarterback. He's looking forward to this game this weekend at the Swamp. Two ranked opponents, SEC East showdown. I can't wait to see it. Anthony Richardson will be a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft. Mark my words.
You say top 10 pick. Could he be maybe the number one overall pick? Could he jump a Stroud? Could he jump a Bryce Young?
There's a possibility. The thing about those two guys is that you have a C.J. Stroud who I think is phenomenal. You see Notre Dame go cover zero blitz to end the third quarter when Ohio State was down 7-10 and C.J. Stroud deciphered it. Throw a post for a touchdown at a moment where they really needed it. You see him scrambling, making unbelievable plays and throws to continue drive. I think C.J. Stroud, from a mental standpoint, is a little bit above everybody else and to put the physical tools with it. Bryce Young, he has the tools. Size is a little bit questionable by a lot of people. Anthony Richardson, he has it all. I think more so on the mental side, needs to get a little bit better. Not saying that he doesn't have it, but it just needs to get a little bit better and show people, show organizations, show GMs, owners, that he does have it and has it in full stride, and I think he has the potential to be a number one pick overall.
Harry Douglas, how do you rank the three best teams in the country? We know the three best teams are Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. How do you rank those three?
Just the way you mentioned it. Well, I will go Alabama. I will go number one, Georgia number two, and then Ohio State number three. And the reason why I got Georgia number two is that Stetson Bennett, this offense, I think is going to be a lot better. I know one thing, their head coach is not going to let that defense fall off. Alabama's going to be number one for me. I think they have, if not the best roster in college football, top two, top three. You have playmakers and a guy that can win the Heisman defensively, a guy that can win the Heisman at the quarterback position. But remember back when Matt Leinart won the Heisman and then the following year Reggie Bush won the Heisman? Don't sleep on Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm telling you, he's a guy that can do it rushing the football, he can do it returning the football, and he also can do it in the pass game. So don't sleep on Jahmyr Gibbs either.
Wrapping up with Harry Douglas right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Getting back to that Florida-Utah game, what a game that was. And the flip side for Utah, you had people talking about college football playoff. You start the year off, throw an interception right down at the goal line. Where do the Utes go from here?
It's first thing first, they got to understand that game came down to the end, so it's not over for them. If they run the table and Florida continues to win and Florida's ranked in a nice position to end the season, they still have an opportunity as the Pac-12 champion. Now, they still have to play USC, and I believe they still have to play Oregon as well, but Oregon didn't look good. USC has Caleb Williams and Addison, who won the Biletnikoff Award, and then Travis Dye, who transferred from Oregon at the running back position, and Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer. So it's going to be a tough sledding for them. You don't want to lose your first game. I think I was more disappointed in Cam Rising that last drive, more so than anything. That's a mistake I would probably expect from a guy like Anthony Richardson, who didn't make the mistake and did show up in key moments. But Cam Rising, when you have a field goal basically in your back pocket, threw an unorthodox football and got it intercepted. It didn't even get a chance to fight it out in overtime.
When we get to Michigan, I think Harbaugh inevitably is going to go to J.J. McCarthy. I know they have three cupcake games to start the year. I just don't get why they don't go to McCarthy right now and they're continuing to rock and roll with Cade McNamara.
Yeah, I don't like the way they're doing it. If you want to go with a guy, go ahead and go with the guy now. And I understand what the issue is because Cade McNamara was a guy who led them to the college football playoffs last year and they won the Big Ten. But as a head coach, if you feel like J.J. McCarthy is the guy for you and you feel like he's the guy that could get you over the hump, then you start off the year with him. All this back and forth, and we never know if it possibly, not saying it is, but it could possibly divide the locker room some kind of way at some point. Just go with who you're going with and tell everyone else they got to live with that decision. I would rather him do that than trying to play Cade this game, J.J. McCarthy that game, because it may create some kind of friction, not just between the quarterbacks, but between teammates in the locker room as well.
And I respect the loyalty to some extent that Jim Harbaugh has because he just won a Big Ten championship with Cade McNamara when no one thought you were going to do so entering last season. But if he can't win the job outright after doing that, it's so obvious he wants to go to McCarthy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. So last year I was at the Michigan State-Michigan game where they were winning by a lot. He tried to experiment putting J.J. McCarthy in. I call it being cute. And got a ball intercepted. Next thing you know, Michigan State has this comeback, and they come back and win the football game. I don't want to see Michigan doing things like that this year. Choose who you're going to go with. When that quarterback is done playing, the game is out of reach, then you play the backup. You know what I mean? If someone get hurt, then you go to the backup. But pick a quarterback, stick with that quarterback, and live with your decision.
Harry Douglas, by the way, who's the third best team in the SEC? You know, you like Alabama and Georgia. Is it A&M or you go someone else?
I think right now I will go A&M. The thing about the SEC right now, when you have a Florida who did what they did this weekend, you have a Kentucky. I'm interested to see how they're going to be this weekend versus a Florida. You have an Ole Miss. You have a Mississippi State. You have an Arkansas, right? I want to see about two or three more weeks from now how these teams start to pan out as we go to see their identities and what they're really made of. In all three phases, that's offense, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, I can't wait also for Tennessee-Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be a good game this upcoming weekend.
Well, that might be an upset because I was at the backyard brawl, and I thought Pittsburgh was at another level, but seeing the way West Virginia played them and knowing how the Tennessee loves to use tempo with Josh Heupel as their head coach and calling plays, that's something that Pittsburgh might struggle with. And Tennessee might end up coming out of this thing with a victory.
Let me get your thoughts on two more games for this weekend, South Carolina, Arkansas.
I'm gonna go with Arkansas. I love what Sam Pittman is doing. KJ Jefferson, he's a guy I'm looking forward to. I love the way he played in game one against Cincinnati. Now I want to see him do it against the South Carolina Gamecocks. What was the second game you mentioned?
Yeah, the other game I was going to throw at you, we know Alabama's going to win, or I think they're going to win. Just how does Texas keep it close up against Alabama?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Go to church is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. So I had a chance to watch Texas in their film last night. I watched the game three times, and one of the things I noticed is that Quinn Ewers is going to have to start throwing the football with anticipation. Right now, he's young, and he's waiting to see guys open and then trying to throw the football versus throwing with anticipation, and it probably cost him about three touchdowns. Now, you fast forward that to a team like Alabama, if you do that, you have a guy over there named Will Anderson Jr. And every second that you waste holding that football, not throwing with anticipation, that's a situation for him to sack you or cause a sack fumble. You also you're going to have a more complex defense that you're going against versus, I think they played Louisiana Monroe, right? Than that defense. So he's going to have to throw with anticipation. I'm pretty sure Sarkisian's in there telling him, hey, you can't wait. The receiver ran a 10-yard out and up, double move. And as soon as that receiver hits that inside foot and hits that outside foot and goes back upfield, that ball post will be gone. He held it for about another 5 or 6 yards that receiver ran and ended up throwing that ball out of bounds instead of it being a touchdown.
Last thing I'll ask you, Harry Douglas, wrapping up, always is a great job from ESPN. When we get to this inevitable 12-game expansion that's going to be happening in 2026, maybe sooner than that, do you like the 12-team college football playoff?
I do, and I think one of the main things that's going to do is kind of save the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, right? It's also going to solidify that Notre Dame doesn't have to join a conference, because if you can make the college football playoffs, why would you do that if you're Notre Dame? They're independent. They make all kind of money right now as they stand. I also think it's going to be good in the regards of you watch these bowl games, and when these players who are going to get drafted in the first round, second round, they don't have an opportunity to play for a national championship, they sit out the games. Now you have more teams, and you have guys that's going to want to play because there is a common goal. And I equate it to when I played for the Atlanta Falcons, right? 2010, we had the number one seed. The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers got in, winning the last game of the year. They were the last seed. Well, they came into the Georgia Dome, blew us out, and went on to win the Super Bowl versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you just want to make the tournament at that point, if you're any school, you just want to make the tournament and have an opportunity, because you never know. A team that you may be playing who may be ranked very, very high may have a down game. They may lose somebody to injuries. It's no telling what can happen, and you may be able to prevail and win and move on and possibly go play for a national championship. So there's no telling what can happen during that time.
The one thing, though, that I can't stand about it, and why I leaned on the side of more no than yes when you hear the number is 12, is like last year you get Michigan and Ohio State. That was an all-or-nothing game in the regular season rivalry week. The winner is going to have a chance to still get into the top four. Now, I know that game's always going to be important to the Michigan and Ohio State fan, but nationally I feel as if the importance of that game goes down a bit because the loser probably still gets in the college football playoff when you go to 12.
No, I don't agree. I mean, I'm going to tell you why. Being a former athlete, there's this thing called pride. And when you have pride as a teammate, as a player, the name on the front of your jersey, the name on the back of your jersey, it's a different ball game. And then these two schools don't even like to mention each other's names.
Sure.
Right? Ohio State called them a team up north. You don't want to lose that game because that's one game that you want to win within that rivalry. Trust me, I promise you. It's not going to dim down the game at all. I don't think so.
No, but obviously the fans of each school are still going to want to win. But I'm talking about the person that's not a Michigan fan, not Ohio State fan, just as a neutral viewer. That game isn't as important anymore because Ohio State could lose and they could still then go play Michigan a few weeks later.
But isn't that even better? You get a round two? Round two? For the marbles? To go see who's going to go play for the marbles?
But isn't that the beauty of college football, that all these regular season games matter?
Yes, but here's the thing, and I learned this from Arthur Blank, who's the owner of the Falcons, the Atlanta United, the soccer team. He has a book. Good company. And one of the things in his books is the bullet points is you have to innovate continuously. And that's just the way our world is working. You have to innovate. You have to adjust. You have to grow. That's all college football is doing right now.
Harry Douglas, appreciate the insight as always. Thanks so much.
No problem at all, bud.
There you go. Harry Douglas joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, some national hype on the Saints. Who dat? We talk some Saints next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, some differentiating takes in the national media. Let's discuss it on a national program. Bart Scott thinks Jameis Winston could win the MVP this year. Okay. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, did his power rankings. I thought this was fair. He put the Saints as the 20th team in football. I think they're anywhere in that range of, let's go 16 to 20. I think that's fair. And then you had Peter King, who, Ryan, Peter King doesn't come off to me as someone that is real takey, like does hot takes. You're the director of hot takes. You would not consider Peter King to be a hot take artist. He's probably one of the more respected voices or writers and authoritative voices when it comes to football. Correct, Amundo?
Respected and someone who gets a lot of his picks right.
He had the Saints. Did I read that this was not an Onion article? This was not...
MBD.com, MBDSports.com. No, it's NBC Sports.
This was Peter King picking the Saints to be the number one over winning the division and being the number one overall seed in the NFC.
12-5, number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, I don't see how that's possible. You want to tell me the Saints are going to be a wild card team? Fine. I don't understand how anyone thinks the Saints are going to win the division unless if Brady gets hurt. And I don't see how you could put the Saints, even if you have the Bucks behind them, which I think is jackassery, how you could put the Rams behind the Saints and the Packers, just for starters, behind the Saints. You've been very critical of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. There's not a chance in hell that you could put the Packers behind the Saints, correct, Amundo?
100% right. No way.
All righty. You compiled the list here for me?
Yes.
Because the Saints now are getting some hype. So we will find out if I believe in the hype or if I don't believe in the hype of the teams that Hickey are going to name right now.
Hype or no hype? Or I guess believing or not believing. Let's start right there, the Saints. I guess clearly no.
Yeah, I'm a non-believer. I don't think the Saints are going to make the playoffs. If I was going to talk myself into it, you need Jameis to play turnover-free football. I don't see that happening. It looks like Alvin Kamara is not going to get suspended, so I guess that's at least good news for now. Michael Thomas, he hasn't played football in 2 years. I don't know where he's going to be at. I like Jarvis Landry. I love Chris Olave. I'd place a bet on Chris Olave to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, potentially. Defensively, they're good, but I don't trust the quarterback, and I don't trust the coach. Can they make the playoffs as a wild card team? Yes. Can they be 9-8, 8-9 in a crappy NFC and potentially get in? Yes. But I'm not believing in the Saints to be a playoff team.
Are you believing in Mike McMedia and the Dolphins?
The media darling, Mike McDaniel. Did you see what he said over the weekend?
Which thing?
That
I guess the one.
This
thing
isn't about him and Bill Belichick. Maybe they'll have an Oklahoma drill. Him and Bill. He would love to have an Oklahoma drill. I'm not a believer.
Want to do that in
the Dolphins and this media darling, Mike McDaniel. Everyone's loving him, and I ask, what do you love about him? Oh yeah, he speaks to us. Oh yeah, he's funny. What do you like about him as a football coach? If you tell me he supports Tua, I could get it. Tell me he's going to commit to run the football, I get it. I'm not believing in the Dolphins. I don't think they're going to be horrible, but I don't believe they're going to be a playoff team this year.
How about the Chargers, who some people will say Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Who said that again? Oh, that Ryan Harris.
Ryan Harris.
The best quarterback he's ever seen.
And CBS Sports had Justin Herbert as their number one quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Which started that
ambiguous.
Whole debate with us.
We're not sure if it's coming into the year or at the end of the year, but either way, they have Justin Herbert ranked number one at some point in 2022.
Now, we'll take shots at other networks. I had to take a shot at our own network. When we debated that list, I had no clue what we were actually debating because the list was very ambiguous and you read the description of what the list was going to be. Chargers are the team, in the words of
Chargers.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, sir.
Go, Chargers, go. I love the Chargers this year. I think they're winning the AFC West. They are one of the more talented teams in football. Herbert's a stud. Eckler's a stud. Keenan Allen's a stud. I like Mike Williams. Surprised he's still on the team. I thought he was going to go get a big contract somewhere else. And defensively, I know J.C. Jackson is hurt, but you got Khalil Mack, you got Bosa, you got Derwin James. I think they will be improved defensively, and I'm believing the hype in the Chargers.
Stick in the AFC West, the Broncos.
No, I'm not believing in the hype because I think this is a Super Bowl or bust season when you bring in a player of the caliber of Russell Wilson and everyone tells me they're a quarterback away. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to win the division. If they make the wild card, am I going to tell you I'm shocked? No, but I'm picking them to miss the playoffs this year. We'll do a big NFL preview show on Thursday. I've said this before on the show. I'm picking the Broncos to miss the playoffs this year just because I do think there's going to be a stretch where they lose three games in a row and you struggle with the new head coach, even though you love Russell Wilson. It is an adjustment period when you bring in a new quarterback, and I think that's going to be the difference why they're going to be the outside looking in postseason time.
New head coach, new wide receiver, new defensive end, quarterback got a brand new deal, new hype. The Raiders, believe in.
I am. That was a team that dealt with a whole lot last year, and they made the playoffs, and they got better this offseason. I thought they upgraded in the coach for the year of 2022 compared to what John Gruden was. Not what John Gruden was for his career, but just what he was in 2021. I think McDaniel's a better coach now in 2022. And you bring in Davante Adams. I know there's problems on the defense, questions at linebacker, questions in the middle, and on the back end as well. But I like the edges here with Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. I think that offense is going to be a nightmare in the red zone with Renfro, with Waller, with Josh Jacobs, with Davante Adams. I do like the Raiders to make the playoffs this year, so I'm believing.
Two more, both in the NFC. The Eagles, believing in the hype.
I've been believing in the hype on the Eagles. The question just becomes to what extent. Do I think this is a Super Bowl team? No. But I've been saying the Eagles are going to win the division ever since they traded for A.J. Brown. So I'm not going to change on that front. And also the Cowboys, who got worse this offseason, before the season even started, are playing with some injuries. Teron Smith, like the guys that you were counting on, are now banged up. And Ezekiel Elliott is only getting older. I know he's not an old man, but he has not looked like the Zeke from 2-3 years ago. And what does Jerry Jones keep on saying after he tries to tell us math? 1 + 1 = 3 or whatever he was saying. Do we have that audio clip? Let me hear from Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan, because I don't understand his internal optimism. This absolutely made no sense to me.
I have to believe 1 + 1 = 3. I can't operate where 1 + 1 = 2. Now, we all know it is physically, but the 3 is where you have to go. Now, you have to have optimism to operate out in that world and commit and do things when you got to count on 1 + 1 = 3. And I'm not trying to play games, but that's where the biggest payoffs are, is out there. If it's there for everybody to grab at 1 + 1 = 2. So here you go.
Yeah, the Cowboys aren't winning the NFC. It's just based off that answer. When have you ever heard someone try to say, I have to believe 1 + 1 = 3, Ryan? That makes no sense to me. He's telling you, I don't think the team's that good, but I can't say that. So I have to speak it into existence and believe the team is great when I don't think they're great. I have to believe they're going to be a Super Bowl contender when they're not a Super Bowl contender. That's the only way I can interpret that answer when I hear him sound like a buffoon and a jackass saying, I have to believe 1 + 1 = 3. Usually I would use that saying and saying like, oh, Ryan's a sucker because he's trying to tell me 1 + 1 = 3, but he's an idiot and no one actually believes him. That's how I would use that. Not as, oh, my team is not as great as I think it is, but I can't say that, so I have to say that they're great. What? WTF?
I just like how he says, I'm not trying to play games, as he's sitting here saying, I got to believe this year 1 + 1 = 3. Not trying to play games here. This is serious business. I'm not trying to play games, but
it may be the dumbest audio we've ever played on this show.
And for Jerry Jones, he's up there in a lot of the possibilities.
What is he going to tell me next? The earth is flat?
Well, Kyrie's got that covered. Yeah. We need another wolf, like, you know, fighting to the death.
That was a Kyrie comment, what Jerry Jones just said. That's brutal.
And the worst part is, season hasn't even started yet. If they're like 2-4, that's one thing. Season hasn't even started yet. We're talking 1 + 1 = 3.
Remember last year when he went to training camp at Oxnard and he was hoisting up the trophy, trying to pretend that it was a Super Bowl trophy? That pales in comparison to that quote. What the heck was that? I got to go back and listen to that entire interview. Because if that's what is just making the rounds, I got to see what other gems are in that conversation. But this conversation started with the Eagles. Yeah, I believe the hype of the Eagles. I think they'll win the NFCs.
And finally, the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. Are you believing the hype with the brand new head coach, KOC?
Now, I'm seeing some on Good Morning Football this AM are picking the Vikings to win the division. I'm not believing in the hype of the Vikings to win the division, but I am believing in the hype of the Vikings to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be great. I think they'll be 9-8, maybe at best 10-7, and they'll be a wild card team in a weak NFC. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll end the show out in style with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. And I'll tell you right now, you're getting the Jerry Jones audio again. That may be the best, worst audio I've ever heard. That is definitely, I don't even know if I'm going to give it a stock up or a stock down. It's horrible, but it's so funny. I may give it a stock up, Ryan.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Anthony Richardson, 17-24, 168 through the air, and then on the ground, 11 carries, 106 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was surgical up against the Utah Utes. I know Cam Rising throws the pick at the end, but let's not forget about the great effort by Anthony Richardson as he gets the victory for the Gators in Billy Napier's first game as their head coach. They win 29-26 at the time up against the 7th-ranked Utah Utes. Give a stock up to Anthony Richardson. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union and proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. The members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Iowa's defense pulled off an extremely rare feat as they outscored their offense in the Hawkeyes 7-3 win over the South Dakota State on Saturday. The Jackrabbits defense recorded 2 safeties and held the Jackrabbits to just 120 yards of total offense. Now, I was about to give a stock up, Ryan, to the Iowa defense here. I'm actually going to give a stock down to the Iowa offense. It's impressive by the defense. But, man, that is some crappy, and I mean crappy, offense. Some good news here. According to Pete Thamel, Wake Forest's starting quarterback Sam Hartman has been medically cleared to return to competition by the school's medical experts. He's expected to start Saturday at Vanderbilt. He was sidelined August 10th with a non-football-related medical condition. Welcome back, Sam Hartman. Give him a stock up. It's very tough to be impressed by the team that just won the national championship. What Georgia, though, did, the defending champs, to Oregon and just completely destroyed Oregon 49-3 was the most impressive thing that I saw this past weekend from college football. Give the Bulldogs a stock up. Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison. It was expected that you were going to win in big fashion up against Rice 66-14, but you did get your first win with the USC Trojans, and also you had everyone else in the Pac-12 pretty much crap the bed. With Utah going down, Oregon going down. What a week for USC. Give a stock up to the Trojans. This 12-team playoff, I don't like it. I don't like it going to 12 teams. I don't like expanding the college football playoff. If you were, I would have gone to 8. I keep on harping back to, I think it takes away from these big rivalry games. Always the rivalries will be important. But I like when the rivalry is the team that wins, they go to the championship game, the conference championship game, where they continue their hopes and aspirations to get to the college football playoff. Now you're going to have those big marquee games where most likely the loser is still going to get into the college football playoff. I do not love that. It also takes away from the conference championship games as well. I'm giving a stock down to 2026, but it still could be as early as 2024, 2025. We're going to a 12-team college football playoff stock down. Okay. My producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. Well, he was delivering some hot takes at 3 or 4 in the morning, Friday into Saturday. Hickey is doing this segment on his national radio program that you could listen to, the Hot Take Hickey Show. I mean, the Ryan Hickey Show, Friday into Saturday. So that's Saturday mornings, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. And he's doing this little bit where you could give him a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Each and every week, you go up against him in picks. Well, the first ever Hickey's Pickies on CBS Sports Radio didn't go the way of Hot Take Hickey. Listen up.
Josh, we'll start with a big one here. Number 11, Oregon, taking on number 3, Georgia. Neutral site, but it's basically a home game for Georgia. Dogs favored by 17 points.
I think they probably are going to cover Georgia.
All right.
Up in the cover.
I'm going Oregon. I like the familiarity with Dan Lanning, knowing kind of the Georgia offense and the defense. Oregon has a lot of talent where I think they can keep it close. I think they can keep it within 17. So I'll go the Ducks to cover. Cincinnati on the road at number 19, Arkansas. The Hogs are favored by 6.5 points. I'm going to Arkansas.
Yeah, I agree. Cincinnati, did they lose their quarterback?
They did, Desmond Ridder.
I agree.
Florida, big game hosting number 7, Utah. The Gators, even though at home, are the underdog here. Just a 3-point, though, dog, despite the fact they're taking on Utah as number 7 in the country here. Utah, Paul, you know, going to cover, or is Florida going to get an upset here?
I hate whoever picks my hated rivals, but yeah, I think Florida's going to cover.
Oh, really? You're kind of close to one of the swamp here.
Well, yeah, I'm taking the Gators to win, so either way.
Wow, okay. So forget cover, folks. We're going straight outright win. This is the game I feel most confident about, Josh, which probably means you're going to be right here. I think Utah's going to win. I think they're going to stop. Number 5, Notre Dame. Number 2, Ohio State. 17-point favorites. I'm taking Ohio State. I think this is going to be a close game for the first half. I don't trust Notre Dame's skill positions at receiver. I don't trust their quarterback in Tyler Buchner.
Man, that's a big spread.
I know, big number.
You know what? I'm going to take Notre Dame the cover.
Notre Dame. Keeping it within 17.
I think Ohio State wins by like 14, probably.
All right. The Tigers of LSU are 3-point favorites here. Are you going with your heart in this pick, or going with your head as a Florida State fan?
I'm going to go with a little bit of both. I'm going to go with my heart. I think the Noles quarterback situation is good. So I think we're going to surprise some people and win a close one.
All right. I'm going to LSU here.
Where did you go? 1-4?
I went 1-4, and Josh in Harrisburg went a perfect 5-0 against the spread.
Now, we have a new guest picker for Friday, so we'll reveal later in the week. So I will be under the spotlight once again, and I'll be going up against Mraz this year on the DA show. So you could maybe get some payback on me, but to start off Hickey's Pickies, you didn't start off with a bang. Stock down to Hot Take Hickey. You're the guy that I say is the most knowledgeable person around this station for college football. Hey, there's always this week, okay? You gotta step it up this week.
I've already put week 1 behind me. I'm already looking at the slate for week number 2. I'm ready.
Yeah. You had a Utah type of moment. We'll see if you can rebound, though, and run the table the rest of the way. Let's hear an exchange from a press conference earlier today after Brian Kelly's team lost as they got a PAT blocked. Here is what happened with a reporter and Brian Kelly when a reporter showed up a little bit late to the press conference.
That will open it up to this late arriving media crowd that must have enjoyed the weekend. That's usually $10 that we put in the kitty. We'll have a big bash at the end of the year at my place. But I don't think it has anything to do with winning. I think it has to do with being on time.
Now, I know it's tough to hear. The reporter said, maybe if you win a game, I'll show up on time. That was the quote that was said there, Hot Take Hickey?
That was the quote by a rambunctious reporter.
Now, it's disrespectful by the reporter. But for Brian Kelly, you just lost the game in humiliating fashion. If a reporter walks in late, I don't think you need to make mention of it. Just let the reporter walk in. But, man, he opened himself up to just get destroyed, and he did. Stock down to Brian Kelly. And real quickly, here is Mike Tomlin announcing his starting quarterback.
Mitch Trubisky is our starting quarterback and our captain. man, we're just really comfortable with what Mitch has shown us. He's a guy that came to us with franchise quarterback experience, if you will. He's comfortable in those shoes. He's been the focal point of a football team in an organization before.
And then give me Mike Tomlin talking about how they originally had Kenny Pickett listed as 3, and now he's actually the number 2 in the depth chart.
It was a clerical error, you know? That's how the depth chart was listed at the start of training camp, so the cut and paste component was the cut and paste component. I know you were hoping for a little bit more colorful explanation, but it is what it is. That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm not buying that there was a clerical error there, and also you should have just named Kenny Pickett number 1. Maybe there was an error, and we'll find out that was different tomorrow. Anyway, stock down to Mike Tomlin. That's all the time we have today. Talk tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, with the Zach Gelb Show. We'll be back for a very busy Wednesday. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Peace.